Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Utkarsh Small Finance Bank Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Hamshad. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY26 results conference call of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank. I would like to thank the management of Utkarsh Small Finance Bank for giving us the opportunity to host the earnings call. From the management, we have Mr. Govind Singh, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Pramod Kumar Dubey, Whole-time Director, Mr. Sarju Kumar Praveen Simaria, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Amit Acharya, Chief Risk Officer, Mr. Virendra Sharma, Head Microbanking, and Mr. Saurabh Ghosh, Head Consumer Banking. Yeah, so now, without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Chintan. Thanks a lot. Thank you, everyone, for taking the time to join us for our Quarter 2 FY26 earnings call. As we reflect on the second quarter of FY26, it is evident that the operating landscape continues to evolve, shaped by both regulatory recalibrations and legacy stress factors. The quarter was marked by a deliberate shift in strategy, balancing caution with forward momentum. Our focus has remained on strengthening the fundamentals, even as we navigate through transitional headwinds that have impacted certain segments of our portfolio. One of the more significant developments this year has been the rollout of the revised regulatory framework under MFIN Guardrail  2.0, effective April 1, 2025, which limits borrower-level leverage to a maximum of three lenders, introducing a structural shift in microfinance lending dynamics. While the intent is to foster long-term portfolio resilience, the immediate consequence has been a slower-than-expected recovery in the collection sentiment. The adjustment process has taken longer to stabilize, and overdue accounts have remained elevated, reflecting both the regulatory transition and residual stress from the prior fiscal. In response, we have intensified our efforts to reinforce field-level discipline. A specialized call center dedicated to overdue accounts has been operationalized, and we have expanded our collection workforce, almost 1,200 as of September 25. Additionally, we continue to split larger microbanking branches to improve oversight and control. We are also working on back-to-basics programs to train new frontline staff on core processes such as center meetings and customer onboarding, ensuring a more robust and consistent execution framework. The overall gross loan book contracted by 2.3% year-on-year, primarily impacted by a sharp decline in the JLG portfolio. The Joint Liabilities Group, JLG, business continues to experience headwinds, with disbursements slowing as we deliberately shift focus towards strengthening collections rather than prioritizing expansion. This strategic recalibration led to an approximately 11% contraction in the JLG loan book during the quarter, contributing to a 2.3% year-on-year decline in our overall gross loan portfolio. However, fresh NPA slippages have reduced significantly during H1 FY26 as compared to the second half of FY25, indicating that our corrective actions are beginning to take hold. We remain cautious in this segment, focusing on long-term stability rather than short-term growth. Despite the challenges in JLG, our microbanking business loan MBBL portfolio has emerged as a bright spot, targeted at graduating JLG customers with strong repayment track record. This segment grew by 39% year-on-year and now constitutes 13% of our microbanking loan book. With penetration still below 6%, we see considerable headroom for expansion. The MBBL portfolio has demonstrated better asset quality and collection efficiency, and we expect its share to increase meaningfully in the quarters ahead. Over the past year, the bank has undertaken several structural shifts in its operation, including the adoption of digital underwriting as a key operational transformation, avoiding lending to over-leveraged borrowers with multiple lender exposure, and diversifying portfolio. this structural shift will eventually lead to a fundamentally stronger bank with less cyclicality in terms of credit costs and will provide multiple avenues for us to grow beyond JLG loans. We have taken proactive steps to align with this transformation. Our JLG exposure has been consistently moderated to 39% and including BC JLG, it is 41% of the gross loan book as on September 25, down from 88% including BC JLG 90% in March 20. We expect this mix to reduce further over time as we pivot toward secured lending, which now comprises 47% of our overall loan book, increased from 38% as on September 24 and is likely to increase further. Our non-JLG lending business have maintained healthy momentum, growing by 30% year-on-year and 4% quarter-on-quarter. With our deepened focus on secured asset businesses, MSME loan book expanded by 33% year-on-year to Rs. 4164 crore while optimizing disbursement yield, which improved by around 100 basis points from 12.4% in quarter 2 FY25 to 13.4% in quarter 2 FY26. Within this, the micro LAP segment has shown promising traction with disbursement yield around 18%. Given our strong franchise and geographical reach, we anticipate continued growth in this product line. Housing loans also grew by 21% year-on-year to 947 crore, supported by improved disbursement yields up by over 40 basis points from 10.9% in Q2 FY25 to 11.3% in Q2 FY26. In the CV and C segment, the loan book rose 6% year-on-year to 1144 crore. Notably, the share of used vehicle disbursement increased to around 40% in quarter 2 FY26 from less than 10% in the same period last year, reflecting our strategic pivot toward more resilient asset classes. The BBG lending portfolio, entirely secured against immovable collateral, grew by approximately 32% year-on-year. These segments continue to perform well, driven by our disciplined approach to underwriting and risk management, while also enhancing portfolio diversification and delivering attractive yields. We are seeing much better traction on cross-sell on both sides, assets, products, that is MSME, housing and micro-LAP through our liability-focused general banking branches and deposit accounts for our asset customers, essentially more products per customer. This multi-product engagement is enhancing customer stickiness and improving wallet share. With healthier diversification, diversified portfolios and improved underwriting standards, the bank is getting resilient and is now poised for a better trajectory in the second half of FY26. Through a more disciplined lending approach, we are already focusing on streamlining the portfolio growth while the impact is likely to persist for another one quarter, but the business is expected to stabilize in next few months and better collection efficiency is anticipated by then. On the liabilities front, total deposits remained flat quarter on quarter. However, we delivered 10% year-on-year growth in total deposits, driven by strong traction in retail term deposit, which grew by 29% year-on-year and 5% quarter on quarter. Our CASA deposits increased by 17% year-on-year and 6% quarter on quarter, resulting in an improved CASA plus retail term deposit ratio of 78% as on September 25 from 68% as on September 24. We are consciously reducing reliance on bulk deposits while retail flows remain strong, supported by deeper cross-sell initiatives. We intentionally calibrated deposit moderation during the quarter to align with our moderated disbursement pace, maintaining a strategic focus on sustainable and consistent deposit growth driven by a well-diversified and granular low-cost retail deposit portfolio. Deposits growth to accelerate in line with the revival in the disbursement. In line with RBI repo rate cuts, we have trimmed interest rates for savings as well as for retail term deposits. These calibrated actions are expected to drive a gradual reduction in our overall cost of funds. Our CD ratio declined to 79% as on September 25 against 93% as on September 24. And after netting off refinance borrowings from advances, CD ratio declines to 72% as on September 25, reflecting our prudent liquidity management. In terms of risk diversification, we registered with CGFMU for credit guarantee coverage on our eligible unsecured JLG and MBBL portfolio, effective from January 17, 2025. Accordingly, incremental JLG and MBBL disbursement from then onwards are getting covered under credit guarantee, which will help de-risk our exposure and support portfolio stability. We ended the quarter with a surplus liquidity of around 4,400 crore, which is higher than our usual liquidity requirement, and an LCR ratio of 224. We have no short-term borrowings on our balance sheet. On asset quality, we believe stress has peaked. The ex-bucket collection efficiency in JLG segment has improved to 98.7% in the month of September 2025 as compared to 98.6% in the month of June 2025. We have tightened underwriting and reduced exposure to riskier segments. MFS stress is moderating, aided by calibrated disbursement and improved borrower discipline under new guardrails. We expect asset quality to improve meaningfully from quarter 3 onwards. Pre-qualified loans to existing customers with no delinquencies are streamlining field operations and exploring innovation across products like unsecured business loans, individual loans, etc. will enable us to gain a higher wallet share of our existing customers with strong repayment track records while preserving credit discipline and robust risk management. With the help of these measures, fresh NPA accretion will start to decline meaningfully in next few months. However, we acknowledge that legacy stress is still to be provided for, which will keep the credit costs slightly elevated in the near term. This will weigh on near-term profitability as we navigate through this phase, and we carry forward stress from earlier periods translated into a net loss of 348 crore for quarter 2 FY26. Despite the losses, our capital adequacy ratio remained at 17.2% as on September 30, 2025, comfortably above the regulatory threshold. In alignment with bank's commitment to long-term value creation, the bank has successfully raised equity capital for an amount aggregating rupees 950 crore for augmenting its Tier 1 capital base to meet its future requirements through the rights issue in November 25. We thank all our investors for reflecting confidence in the bank's strategic roadmap and future potential. Concurrently, we have also secured all requisite statutory approval for the proposed reverse merger of the holding company with the bank. With these approvals in place, we are now assessing the optimal sequencing of petition filing with the NCLT application. We are also undertaking a business transformation project to make our technology architecture and business processes future ready for our growth plan. The bank has already embarked on its Utkarsh 2.0 technology transformation project with several sub-projects already live and yielding benefits. These benefits include improved operational efficiency, higher productivity, automation, and 360-degree control parameter mapping throughout the entire cycle from sourcing and disbursement to record keeping and granular monitoring. Looking ahead, FY26 is shaping up to a difficult year, but is also a year of strategic recalibration. We are prioritizing operational efficiency, disciplined execution, and operational agility. For the next 2 to 3 years period, bank targets a loan book growth of around 25% with a well-diversified portfolio with secured lending share of more than 50%. The focus will be on strong asset quality, cost efficiency, and prudent risk control. The bank aims to maintain a NIM of around 8.5% and deliver a return on equity of about 15% supported by efficient operations and moderated growth towards the end of FY28. While sectoral headwinds and regulatory transitions may continue to influence near-term performance, we remain confident in the resilience of our franchise and the strategic direction we have charted for FY27 and FY28. Thank you very much for your patience listening. Now we can move to the question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is on the line of Mayank, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I just want to ask one question. So we recently saw government of Bihar announcing this 10,000 rupees to women. So are we seeing any sort of like, is it creating any sort of problem for bank because or like it will be beneficial?
No, I think broadly speaking, you know, it will be neutral from our perspective. Yeah, it may have a positive impact on the, you know, borrower level, their own, you can say, well-being or their livelihood level. But as far as our efficiency of, you know, operations concerned, I don't foresee much impact because of that. A slight positive impact maybe because people will be a little better off, but otherwise not much impact of that. And from the hardcore, our day-to-day operations angle, I mean, obviously it is good for the people who have got it.
Okay. And are you planning to, like, you have issued a fresh issue and you have issued the rights. So in future, are you planning to do more equity dilution or like, is it fine for 2-3 years?
So broadly speaking, you know, from our side, the current range of 950 crore is good enough for next 24 months. I mean, you can say till September 27. I mean, that is how the plans are from our side. We don't intend to go to market, you know, for next 2 years' time.
Okay, sir, and last question, like, you said that this JLG is picked out, so from quarter three onwards, we will be seeing improvement in net profit and everything, right?
So our, as I mentioned in my opening remarks also, what we expect that the stress level, the delinquencies certainly are starting, you know, we are seeing that coming down, especially if you look at the month of November also, we are seeing them coming down. So the trajectory in terms of stress assets, in terms of NPA accretion, in terms of profitability, we do expect that quarter three will be a little better than previous quarter, and quarter four onwards we can see much better, you know, trajectory as far as these efficiency ratios are concerned.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vinita Garwal from Aditya Birla Money. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I have a couple of questions, sir. So firstly, currently we have around 1100 odd branches, which is higher compared to some of our peers with higher book size than us. So going forward, what is our stance? Like, do we continue to increase our branches at around 15% odd kind of growth rate? Do we plan to consolidate and focus on improving productivity?
So certainly, you know, our plan is to move to consolidate. In fact, this year we have not opened branches, and we have, as you yourself mentioned, we have enough number of branches. In fact, last 1 year or so, whatever new branch we have opened, it is for a better control as per the JLG, you know, JLG business is concerned. Otherwise, our idea is to consolidate because we have a large network of branches across the country now, you know, and we are across the country in all the relevant states, we are already there. So we don't intend to open many branches from now onwards. Better to make those branches operationally efficient because we opened quite a number of branches during last three and a half years. Post-COVID, actually, we opened quite a number of branches. So our first focus is right now to make them branches, you know, give a, you know, from the business size, give a sizable business of these branches, make them more, you know, operationally efficient branches. So that is the focus. We may not be opening many branches now, at least in the near future.
And out of the total number of branches currently, how much will be only deposit taking only?
So you are aware that we have two type of branches. When we say general banking branches, these are the branches which are deposit-led branches. So today out of around 1100 branches, 331 hardcore deposit-led branches. Obviously as a bank, even the other branches also can take deposits. But from the strategy angle or from the business angle, these are 331 branches across the country which are normally at the large cities, large centers, metro locations or, you know, very prominent places. These are focused for the liability part. So these are 331 branches as on date.
And secondly, sir, like we have faced high employee attrition last 1 year. So wanted to understand how is the scenario now?
So I think it was not only with us, but it was the industry phenomena also must have seen that part, you know, especially at the at the entry level, at the lower level, we have seen that part. We are seeing that especially in this, you can say this quarter and henceforth, we expect that this will stabilize. Normally it is higher in quarter one, and that is true for other banks and other financial institutions also. and ours is not among the, you know, that high. Obviously, it is higher than what it used to in past. It is little higher than our past records. But we are certainly seeing a better, you know, better response, and the attrition rates are certainly coming down. I may not have the exact number right now, but these are certainly coming down, and we do expect that quarter three and quarter four will be much better from that angle.
Understood. And so lastly, like a data keeping one, so how much was the impact on yields due to interest reversal?
Interest reversal for this quarter was about impacting in absolute term about 27 crores would have been better off had the slippages for this quarter been not there. So it's about 27 crores impacting my Q2 results.
Thank you so much. I'll call back.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, you may press star and one. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Sagar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. My first question was related to the PCR. What is the PCR on the MFI book that we are holding right now, sir?
It's 68% PCR we are holding.
On the JLG book, sir?
Yes.
So, I think so it is less than the RBI prescribed limit. I think the RBI's supervision is around 80%, right, if I'm not wrong. So, may I know the reason why are we not providing enough actually so that at least we can clear our books before we start our new growth journey, sir?
So, I guess not that I recollect if there is any RBI norm to that. In fact, what we are making a provision, over and above the IREC or the RBI norms. So, our provision scale is higher, by the way. So that's first, you know, kind of an clarity that I thought I will bring here on this call. Secondly, we have a roadmap of, as I said, policy, when an account goes NPA, we start with 40% immediately, any account being on 91st day, and then do we 15% each subsequent quarter. So there is a run rate rule book, and as it goes along, I guess, this should be a bit higher in the coming quarter. And you will see a further provisioning coming, in terms of cushion as we go along in Q3.
So is it safe to assume that by Q3 we'll go from 65 to 80 as far as the unsecured portfolio, MFI, I'm saying, for the NPA without technical write-off?
That's something written on the book. We'll have to deliberate and then go there. Obviously, as I said, that we have a rule in terms of the policies that we have. In case we choose to do what you just mentioned, it may amount to an accelerated provision. We'll have to look for adequate approvals and then probably during the course of the quarter decide on that.
Okay, so my second question was related to in the unsecured portfolio, almost 80% of our majority of the portfolio is concentrated in Bihar and UP for us actually. So, can you throw some light what is the situation on ground in both these two states? Is it at least improving? What is the collection efficiency? And how do we see the MFI portfolio going ahead actually? Will we see some disbursement growth going ahead?
So I think generally, we have seen UP and Bihar are a good place for microfinance. There are a lot of requirements. There are a lot of, you can use the opportunity and there is a requirement, then that's why there is opportunity. And we have seen in past also, this time during this last, 18 months time, we have seen little higher slippages in some of the states. You mentioned some of two states basically where we have large concentration. And, UP, Bihar, because, our headquarters is Varanasi, and UP and Bihar, that is where we have started our operations in the beginning. So we have large number of customers there. Even the ticket size is higher in that case. And that is the reason why we have
little higher concentration in Bihar and UP. If you look at the ground level operations, we had little challenges in this geography, and that's why you have seen the elevated NPA level. Maybe these have been little higher than from some of the other places. But off late we are seeing that, you know, normalcy is coming. I can use the word, you know, these may be, if you look at the ex-bucket collections, if you talk of, say, month of November, they are all 99% plus now across, in fact. If you look at Bihar, if you look at UP and the adjoining area, all places, it is now 99% plus as per the ex-bucket collections are concerned. So it is improving, certainly it is improving. See, you also asked about the dispersion part. So we have a, and that is not with us only, that is why you can see that, you know, almost 20-25% decrease in the overall microfinance number of clients base and the AUM also across the country. The reason is because of the guardrails, lot of customers became ineligible for disbursement because they might be having some delinquencies, some other, you know, with other partners, with other funder. That is why it is a little difficult right now to, you know, you can say disburse to the extent that used to happen in past. Our idea, you know, now people are also looking at new to credit, new to bank, and also the cleanup is you are seeing for last 15-16 months time. Our sense is that, of course, I can talk on behalf of, you know, how the industry or the sector is shaping. So my sense is next 2 to 3 months time, we should see a, you know, almost regular type of disbursement. I mean, it's very difficult to predict the exact quantum, but disbursement will become very regular in next 2 to 3 months time. That is the indication we are seeing from the market or from the ground.
So at least that would be for Utkarsh also, right?
That is true for all the players, including Utkarsh. And in fact, Utkarsh being a bank, you know, sometimes smaller players might be having some challenge in terms of getting funding also. So for banks or for larger entities, that should not be a problem. So my sense is, from next 2-3 months time, we should see a normal type of disbursement also for JLG book, which was not there for last 15 months or so.
Okay, sir. So what is the slippage amount, sir, in this quarter? Can you please specify? Cross slippages?
Yeah, our CRO will just give the number. Yeah.
Yes, the addition in this quarter was around 463 crores and recovery and upgradations were close to 48-49 crores.
So, just one request from my side, sir. Can you please, from next quarter, can you please specify the numbers in the investor presentation, including the write-offs and slippages, so that we can have an idea about the GPA?
Sure. But I think
there is a movement on slide 30 which tells you about additions quarter by quarter.
You can see slide 30 of the investor presentation. I think it is already mentioned.
Yes, sir. In the last quarter it wasn't, so that's why I was asking.
So it has been incorporated now. Thank you.
Okay. And sir, my last question was related to our secured advances. We have been growing very well in that segment. Almost 37% of the total loan book is concentrated there. So what I wanted to ask in that retail lending, basically within the MSME, housing, gold, CEC loans, what would be the mix going ahead in the next year, actually, when we see some higher disbursement growth also in this segment? And secondly, what would be the mix going ahead in FY27 and FY20 between unsecured and unsecured? How do you see the bank going ahead?
So if you look at the bank going ahead, broadly the way I mentioned that, you know, we do expect that growth for secured will be higher than the growth for unsecured or for JLG type of growth. For unsecured, the growth may be say around 15-18%, and the growth for unsecured can be 15-18%, and for secured it may be in the range of say 30-35%, because we are newer businesses and smaller businesses that we have just started. So that is what is expected, and that you will see that's why you will see every year the secured is going up little bit and unsecured portion is coming down. That is what we expect. In terms of MSME, micro LAP, housing, so our focus has been more on the LAP type of businesses where I get a property as a security. I'll put it this way. It can be in multiple forms. Sometimes it can, even when I'm talking about BBG portfolio, it is 100% secured by the property, you know, underlying property. So we have a bigger focus on that. I think CECB businesses will be moderate growth from our side. We are not looking very hyper growth from these type of businesses. But wherever there is a property security, I think that will be the bigger focus as far as Utkarsh next 2 to 3 years, you know, journey is concerned.
Okay, fine, sir. And just last one from me. that will we see our net NPA going down, since you are saying that the provisioning will go up even in the next quarter? So can we see the net NPA inching below?
Yes, certainly we can assure you that, you know, our net NPA levels will start coming down on a quarter on quarter basis from now. That you will certainly see from quarter on quarter.
Okay. Fine, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vaikarya Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you split the slippages between MFI and non-MFI segments for the quarter and the last quarter?
Just for a second,
So for GLG business, it was 324 crores in the quarter two, and for non-GLG business putting together, it was around 134 crores.
Okay. And what was it last quarter?
Last quarter, GLG was close to 330 odd crores, and non-GLG business was 122 crores.
Okay. And the one question on the collection efficiency, actually, what you disclosed in, I think this quarter was, it was mostly around 98.6, 98.7. So, I mean, we have seen for most of the other lenders, actually, this collection efficiency has definitely improved in the quarter. Can you throw some light on what exactly is happening over here? I mean, why isn't it improved for us?
So, hi, this is Virender. I just wanted to clarify, yes, we were in the two biggest pockets where the delinquency has been higher, which was bigger impacted markets like Bihar. In line with, we have seen some correction post our corrective measures, and yes, we were slower in that part of the geography for some period of time, but now we will be at par with the industry in this market, sir. Yes, there was some system or limitations earlier, but we have covered it. And going forward, it will be at par or better off in that market. That's what we have seen, because there is a slight rebound in both UP and Bihar markets in this month.
Okay. And on the disbursement side, obviously, this quarter also, I think MFI disbursements have actually gone down. So, I mean, when do we expect this number to improve? Or, I mean, do we expect, let's say, next two quarters to more consolidate around this number, and then maybe from FY27 onwards it will go?
So, as I mentioned, our assessment is that, you know, for next 3-4 months onward, we should see a better in terms of disbursement, or at least hopefully will start growing. And as I mentioned, the disbursement were lower because of the guardrails. Lot of people became ineligible for disbursement. But one thing I'm sure I know, the growth what we have seen in JLG will be a moderated growth. You know, when we're looking next 2-3 years time, I think maybe around 15-16% type of growth is what we can expect in the JLG business.
Okay. So, but if you look at overall, overall mix of our loan book, can we say that you know, we have sort of reached the bottom of our MFI share declining in the overall area? Or
I think we have almost reached there. I mean, it's very difficult to pinpoint this, but certainly, you know, where we are right now, we expect that now portfolio in terms of collection efficiency, as Viren mentioned, that, you know, we're already seeing almost across now 99% plus for this month, and this will certainly grow. In fact, I'm talking across, it is 99% plus. So overall, it is a little better than that only. So we expect that collection efficiency is growing. Similarly, we are also seeing a traction in the disbursement. It has not reached to the level where you can say, you know, my portfolio is not degrowing. But my sense is in the next 1 or 2 months time, it will reach a stage where a portfolio will not come down, you know, from there. So that is what we expect as far as the JLG disbursements are concerned.
Okay. And if I look at the non-MFI book, I mean, is there a target at which we want to grow this business?
So as I mentioned, you know, broadly speaking, the JLG 15-16% type of growth, there is a range, I mean, 2% plus minus. Similarly, for non-JLG, maybe 30% or maybe a little higher than that, that is the type of growth we expect for the non-JLG. So certainly that's why the share of non-JLG will keep growing, and share of JLG in the overall book will obviously number should grow from here, but overall share will come down as far as JLG is concerned. And this is the growth rate we expect. And as I mentioned, blended growth rate of around 25% or so, that is what we expect for the bank in next, you know, if you look at FY27 or FY28, that is what we expect.
Okay. But for the non-MFI book, would I be right in concluding that for past two quarters, our growth rate has been, 1 to 2%? I mean, am I doing something wrong over here?
No, nothing. I mean, we are not doing anything wrong. Maybe it was a little slower in the initial phase, and we have seen it past also. And as I mentioned here also, we expect that this will pick up in this quarter onwards. Normally, our quarter one, you know, in past also has been a little slow, and we expect this to pick from here. So, and we are not looking any, you know, any additional type of products. You are aware that the type of products we are having, our idea is to scale those products. And where the loan, the property backed, you know, products in the asset side are our prime focus from our side. Obviously, we are doing gold loan also. Even we are doing the secured credit card also, you know, backed by fixed deposits. We are also doing housing. We are doing, you know, BBG, where again, we are doing the business banking group. We are doing small, you can say, working capital loans or term loans for the MSME segment, SME segment. I think these are some of the segments which we have chosen, and our idea is to grow these segments only.
Okay. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star and one. I repeat, to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Franklin from Reliance General Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Have you done any ARC sales in this quarter?
So, not in the bulk side, but we had one NBFC borrower account with us, ABM India Housing, which we have sold to one of the ARC India SME Asset Reconstruction Company in this quarter, in the month of September.
What would be the gross value for this asset, and how much provision we would have made?
Yeah, so the outstanding was around 24 crores, and we had already provided fully for it in the previous quarter itself. And in this quarter, we did that ARC transaction.
Okay. And what would be our cumulative write-offs that we would have done in the last maybe 2 years?
So, since inception of the bank, last 2 years. So, last financial year, we did around 224 odd crores of write-off. And in this particular H1, till H1, we have done 366 crores. Out of that, 311 came in this quarter only.
Okay. And how much of, you know, historically, what is our recovery that we, you know, get from write-offs? And from this cumulative amount also, what kind of, you know, recovery are we expecting, and over what time frame can we expect this recovery?
So normally, you know, it obviously depends upon the type of, you know, class of assets also. So if it is JLG, then we have seen in past it ranges from 12 to 25% type of recovery. I'm talking once from the write-off book. And even in case of demand book, we get even some recovery today also. So that is how it happens. But for the other asset classes, the recovery rates are higher. Sometimes it may go to 35 to 40% also for the other asset classes. Blended may be around 20% or so if you look from that perspective. Broad number will be around 20% from the write-off books.
So can we expect a similar recovery from the assets that have gone into write-off last couple of years?
Yeah, certainly yes, certainly yes. In fact, I mean, obviously it's too early to talk about this part, but in past, you know, for example, in case of JLG, we never had a collections team. Now there is a focused collections team. The results can be better also. Obviously, I mean, we are yet to experience that part, but that's my expectation that the results can be even better this time because of the dedicated collection team for JLG portfolio also. Even for other unsecured loans, we have a dedicated team. So results may be even better also.
Okay. And lastly, can you share a credit cost guidance, because we are clocking around 1,300-1,400 crore of NPA provision in the last couple of quarters. I just wanted to understand whether this run rate is likely to continue or how is it going to be?
So as we just mentioned about the collection force headcount that we have increased, in fact we have increased from at a level of 400 to 1200 headcount now. And with improvisation in terms of improvement, normalization, both in terms of the disbursement being happening in the new book, all that combined effect of a credit cost is certainly going to be far better in Q3 and more almost normalization from Q4 onwards.
And what is your sustainable credit cost guidance?
I guess
normalized number?
I guess we'll give a guidance once we have complete, queue or guardrail to impact, embedded by Q3 results. And that would be a better time to give a guidance for subsequent growth.
Okay. Fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Arun, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question with respect to the regional focus of the business. So it's more to do with North. Is there any plans to expand in the South of India, like Karnataka, Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh in the future?
So, yes, because we had a headquarter in Varanasi, UP, so we have a initial concentration in Uttar Pradesh and northern part. But if we look at today, we are across the country. We are in 27 states and UTs. And all the south states, including Pondicherry, and things like places like even Goa are covered by us. We are in Andhra, we are in Telangana, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, all places are covered by us. And obviously it was in the second phase. First phase was more towards the north and followed by west. And we have more than 50 branches right now in southern states. Sorry? 46 branches are the southern states, and in fact other than JLG we are doing all type of businesses from that area also. So I'm doing lab business, I'm doing MSME business, we are doing affordable housing also, and obviously liability side we are doing all businesses, gold loan we are doing from that area. So south also we have started in a big way, and obviously we are there in eastern part of the country also, like Odisha and West Bengal and those states. So the footprints, yes, it might have taken a little longer time, but we are currently already a player with little skew in favor of maybe west and north, because those way there we had started as far as our operations are concerned, those are started early, but we are across all India player now.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ask a question, please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Jain, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I want to understand your JLG portfolio. Out of the gross NPA, which is around 2,276 crore, out of that, how much is the JLG portfolio? And the entire NPA of the JLG, is it unsecured or somehow it is covered under the CGTMSC?
So as far as security is concerned, we mentioned in my opening remarks also, from January 17 of this year, our new portfolio of JLG and micro banking business loans, so entire unsecured part is covered under the guarantee scheme. And today it may be around 2000 crore plus, which is part of this. Around 25% of our portfolio is covered under the guarantee scheme, because this has just started. As far as the breakup is concerned, Sarju, or
around 1850 crores, yeah, is the JLG portfolio of NPA out of 2274.
Okay, sir, can you give me an idea that out of that standard JLG portfolio, how much amount is under stress, that is in under the special mention account, that's SMA3.
Yeah, Overall, 5% is under SMA 0 plus 1 plus 2 overall the portfolio. Plus 23% is in NPA.
So 5% is in SMA 0 and 23% is NPA.
From SMA 0 plus SMA 1 plus SMA 2, all three put together 4.88%.
SMA 0 plus 1 is 5% and SMA 3?
Including SMA 3.
Okay, SMA including 0. SMA 3.
Yeah.
Yeah, overall of the SMA advance is 5% of the overall JLG portfolio, correct?
Yeah. 4.88 to be precise.
4.88. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
On the guidance front, so which we have sir mentioned wherein 15% ROE, it would be there by 28. So what kind of credit cost are we assuming for this ROE? So by FY20, what kind of credit cost and what are the margins which we are assuming? If you could throw some light on that. Thanks.
So we are, as we, whatever the disbursement that are happening from January, it is CGMFU, ensured. And the new disbursement is also happening under the cleaner, less than three lender rule,
new regime.
The new regime as we call guardrail 2. With this combination, and the normalization of, collection efficiency should be very, very evident as these both the factors combine. We are looking with, secured and unsecured composition, a max credit cost of up to 2% on a steady state basis.
Anything on the margins on that front?
So there are a couple of factors here. One, as the cost of funds, and we take the benefit of repo rates, we presume the cost of funds will go down, which will contribute to the NIM. We also have the revival, the disbursements, and once all the slippages get normalized, so that should add. And with the growth in the retail book at a higher yield, in fact, as earlier mentioned, our two, three products have given us almost 40 to 100 basis point higher. I already began to see higher yield. If I take combination of all combined, we should be looking again sometime FY28 at 8.5% NIM. Is what we are, our execution plans are.
Sure. And sir, on this CGFMU scheme, so now you mean to say from January 17, 100% of our incremental disbursements are via CGFMU. And if you could just help us understand the math, how does the scheme mechanics exactly work, how much has to be borne by us and how much is the premium to be paid, some working on that would be helpful.
Yeah, so the entire disbursement which is eligible for the scheme, we are taking cover for that. And normally we have seen that 93 to 95% of our disbursement is covered under the scheme. That is part one. Overall premium cost would be in the range of 1% to 1.2% of the AUM per annum. So that is the cost which is expected.
And also,
Yeah, so overall what will be the reimbursed by the agency? So the whatever will be the economic loss, 3% first will be borne by the lender. And for balance 97%, 25% will be borne by us and balance 75% will be borne by the agency. So overall, we can say 72 to 73% will be reimbursed by the agency.
Understood. Just for an hypothetical example, if 100 rupees is the disbursement and of that if 10% is the GNPA, it means the slippages, so of that 3%, 10 ka 3%, that is 0.3 will be borne by us and the remaining 9.7 will be shared, 75-25.
Correct.
Okay, and so Yeah. And so, is there a maximum, there would be a maximum cap, right? Of the 100 rupees maximum, like 10 or 15% GNPA will be borne by them. So what is that cap on this?
15% of the portfolio.
Okay. Sure. So that way, this largely then basically helps us maintain our credit cost well within range for the MFI and non-MFI. So, sir, what will be the sir our credit cost for the non-MFI portfolio, the non-GLG portfolio this year, first two quarters? If you could break the credit cost for first half into GLG and non-GLG.
So, for this quarter, the non-GLG credit cost stood around 2.3%.
That's an annualized number, right?
Yeah.
It was little higher because of the challenge in the wheels business. Actually, you must have seen that, you know, this quarter two was little challenging. We are obviously we are making more efforts towards that also. So it was little elevated for the wheels business actually. That's why it is looking little on higher side for this quarter.
And so what was the that number in Q1, sir?
In Q1, it was around 2.2%.
So it's, okay, so 10 bits higher.
Yeah.
Sure. And sir, just one last question from my side. So from the PAR, once an MFI account slips into, becomes a 1 plus, so how much percentage of that flow forward comes to, how much of that flow forward goes to 90 plus? So once an account becomes 1 plus, so like 100 rupees becomes 1 plus, then so like typically 60, 70 flows into 90 plus or 30, 40 or what could be that number, any rough estimate?
We, so there would be three buckets after that, 1 to 30, 30 to 60 and 60 to 90, and every bucket will have its own collection efficiency. So 1 to 30 normally would have the collection efficiency of 50% to 60%. Then 30 to 60 would have collection efficiency of 40 to 50%. And again in 60 to 90, our collection efficiency is in the range of 55 to 65%. So that is how it we try to manage. And the balance will flow into 90 plus. And again, after it flows into 90 plus, collection continues. And we have, as we mentioned, more than 20% being collected from that amount in next 24 months.
Sure. And so what's the write-off policy for 90 plus? For the GLG portfolio?
So it is, you know, the post NPA recognition, the account should have passed more than 365 days, then it qualifies for technical write.
So I think that's it from my side. Thank you for the detailed answers and I wish you and the team all the very best for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sagar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sir, some few questions. Our SMA 1 and 2 book is going up, sir. From March, it has gone up to 4.4 to now 4.4%. So, basically, is it because of the wheels portfolio or still the stress in the JLG is emerging, sir?
JLG is the largely cause. I think earlier my colleague mentioned about the total provision out of which, you know, almost 90% belongs to the JLG book. Likewise, this is largely attributable to the JLG delinquencies that we are seeing in the Q2.
So what exactly has happened that in the month of February and March, collection efficiency for zero bucket in JLG had improved substantially. But again, after implementation of the guardrail 2 from April onwards, collection efficiency declined a little bit. And that's the reason it is 4.4. But in Q3, we have seen that again, we are will be back to the normal. So you will see by quarter 3 onwards, it should be in the range of what we saw in the month of March.
So basically, but okay, my next question on related to that is, how much are out of our MFI portfolio? We have a lender plus 3 portfolio in us.
Lender plus 3 plus would be 16%, 16.8%.
So 16.8% and lender plus 3 means includes Utkarsh, right? Well, that means more than 3 lenders including Utkarsh.
Yes,
correct.
So that is 16.8% of the portfolio. So that comes up to around, sir, it's out of our 8,271 crores, almost more than 17%. So still that portfolio, what is the collection efficiency in that portfolio, sir?
So this portfolio includes all the buckets customers. Few of them are already into NPA or they are into the SMA bucket.
Okay, so almost you can say out of that 1300 crore portfolio, how much are into NPA, sir?
This would be, you see, it would be a little higher on the overall book of MB, obviously, because these are the, you know, lender. Borrowers who got out of the guardrails. So obviously their repayment behavior got changed drastically after implementation in August. So that would be, this portion would be around, you know, plus 4 I would tell you rather, plus 3 is under control, but plus 4 would be around 25%, 26%.
Lender plus 4?
Yeah.
So that means around 5 lenders, right, including Utkarsh?
Yeah.
So how much? That is 25% of the portfolio.
Of that bucket, not the overall portfolio. You asked out of that portfolio, how much would be in the...
Yeah, out of the MFI portfolio, right? That I'm saying, sir.
No. The portfolio then? Of first plus 4 lenders, which my friend just told you, that 16% comprises of such nature. Out of that 16% portfolio, 25% borrowers are under NPA.
Okay, out of that 16, 25 are those basically.
Yeah.
25% of are those. Which has, so how is that portfolio performing in terms of collection efficiency, including arrears?
I think we may not have the exact data right now, but our trend we have seen, I mean, there is a state inverse relationship between the number of borrowers and the portfolio quality. Higher the number of borrowers that we have established. I don't have the exact numbers right now, but we have
fine, sir.
Wherever we have T plus, you know, sorry, Utkarsh plus 4, 5, 6. In fact, there we have seen the stress NPA and SMA is higher than our normal one.
Okay, fine, sir. So basically, so last question for, so what is the net NPA of the secure portfolio, sir? The gross and net NPA.
Just 1 second. Let me see.
Yes, sure, sir. Sure.
Actually, we track product-wise rather than secured and unsecured because many products have secured as well as maybe a little bit of unsecured.
But I think so your MSME housing and CV is mostly secured, right? 95% plus you have mentioned in the investor presentation, sir.
Correct.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj Ganapati, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. My understanding with the executive investor presentation is that the bank's performance and recovery would be good in the next 1 to 2 quarters. So wanted to know the executive's opinion whether we can expect a positive PAT in the next 2 quarters so that it will be immediately reflecting on the stock price recovery as well.
So broadly speaking, as I mentioned, that, you know, we have still seen some stress. So obviously, quarter three, we still, you know, looking into the stress of past because, you know, guardrail started from last 14, 15 months. Some of the stress has already been covered. Some is yet to be covered. Still, there may be little challenges in quarter three. I mean, obviously, you know, not the type of things we have seen in past, but little challenges because we still have to provide for some of the, you know, some of the delinquents, some of the NPAs. But we do expect that, you know, quarter four onwards should be much, much better from that perspective, from the profitability and overall growth and the quality of, you know, book concern, book angle. Quarter four onwards should be much, much better.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for the details and all the best for the coming quarters.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks everyone. And thanks ISEC for organizing this. Thanks all the investors for your questions, your responses and your, you know, you can say confidence in the team Utkarsh. As I mentioned in the beginning itself that we had some challenging time for last 4 to 5 quarters, but we are coming towards the end of that period. And as mentioned, we have committed to bounce back and we have seen that, you know, things are starting improving and next 2 quarters will be certainly critical from our side also. And we have proper plans and good plans in place and I think execution is right now and you should see much better performance, much better traction from Utkarsh going forward. So once again, thank you very much to all of you for joining this call and look forward to interacting with you on a regular basis. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect the lines. Thank you.
Thank you.